You have to really let go of your past beliefs with money, that money is hard or money is limited. And you don't just have to like think about them as limiting beliefs that you have to let go of, but you should also wear like a new pair of clothes. You have to wear these new beliefs that money is easy and abundant and there's enough and more than enough for all of us.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hey, 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 good morning to everyone and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. Today, I'm very excited to record this episode because we're going to talk about something really important to a lot of entrepreneurs, and that is money. Money is definitely very important. In fact, if you look at the lexical definition of a business, the business sole purpose is to make profit. And, you know, some people will tell you that I have a vision. This is my purpose. I want to provide jobs and all that. But really, like when you get down into it, people start businesses to make profit. Like the minute you choose and you decide to be an entrepreneur and take on this role and this challenge, is not an easy decision to make. And on the other side of that is a lot of rewards, obviously, like your vision coming to life, being able to provide jobs, but ultimately being able to also buy you a certain lifestyle or a certain quality of life and a certain level of success that lets you live your life at your own terms. So most people are not entrepreneurs, and there's a reason for that. Entrepreneurship is not easy. It is definitely the more unconventional, you know, practice or path, if you want to call it that. And to everyone listening today that are entrepreneurs that have chosen this path, you know, kudos to you. You have taken a very brave path in, you know, in this undertaking and in the process of choosing how to make money. So whether you have a job or have a client as a consultant, or you're a freelancer, or you're an entrepreneur, money is a big part of our lives. Money dictates our lifestyle. It's very linked to our level of safety, how we feel, how safe we feel, and how peaceful we feel on our day-to-day lives. I would say to a certain extent, even happiness is correlated to money. It's definitely very easy to feel happy and content and at peace when you have money, when you don't have any shortage of money. But also, it is not the sole determinant of happiness. As you can see, a lot of people with money are depressed or are suicidal, and it is not the answer. So let me just start with that. So I'm really excited to do this podcast episode because I have had a pretty wild journey in getting to know money and really deciding how I feel and how I treat it. And I've learned a lot of lessons along the way, made a lot of mistakes. I definitely remember the time when I was really, really having a hard time financially, and I had this copywriting project. I was in the Philippines, so I charged very low for my writing rates. In fact, I maintained a newspaper column for a few years and I got paid $4 per article, but it was a great way for me to showcase my writing skills. And I also got a lot of high level corporate clients by just having my name on the newspaper. It was a pretty famous newspaper and it opened a lot of doors for me. So, you know, we're going to learn more about my journey, you know, as I give my advice. But today is all about my, I would say, top 10 lessons or top 10 principles about money that I really want to share with you. I also want to preface this by saying that I have ran multiple sold out money mastermind courses in the past to serve my audience in the Philippines. And I taught in Filipino and in English, and it was so awesome. It had a lot of 5-star reviews. And since I don't sell courses anymore, I decided to just basically share everything here on this podcast where you can access the lessons for free. The thing with money is it's mostly very principle based. And the idea behind working hard is kind of a duty towards money. So you first have to believe certain things and abide by certain principles. And with you working hard and doing the right thing, it is a way to honor these principles. So I grew up poor. I grew up in the Philippines, which is, I would consider, you know, a poor country, a developing country. The experience over there is very different when it comes to how money was viewed, you know, how credit is being measured or assigned to certain people. Both of my parents were relatively also kind of poor, lower middle class or something like that. And the environment is just different. So I grew up to certain beliefs that I discovered were very wrong or were very misleading. So let's just say that, very misleading. And it's not my parents' fault. It's not the fault of the people around them because they also grew up with the same beliefs. And when you grow up with certain beliefs that were taught to you since you were a kid, there was just no other way of believing, you know? So that was all that you really believed. And I remember that, you know, growing up, my parents always aspired to be comfortable, but it was just not a reality to them to be fully rich and fully wealthy. In fact, I remember that with my Catholic education, I have like over 15 years of Catholic education. I've always studied in Catholic schools. I discovered that, you know, poverty is a virtue and they teach that. And it's a good thing to be poor or something like that because you're more humble or you're more content. And humility and contentment are two very good things to imbibe. However, they are not aligned with how we know with the ideas of abundance and how money really is. So I remember certain moments in my life where believing certain beliefs about money were just harmful to me or harmful to the people around me. Like, for example, I feel like some of you guys remember that moment where I went viral on Facebook by talking about donuts. So this is my most viral post. And the post was this. I'm going to read it in verbatim. Who else thinks that their time is only worth buy one, get one donuts? Remember, you can always make more money, but you can't make more time. Change your mindset, change your life. That's all I said. And my purpose for that was to inspire people to not have to think of ways to be cheap about money if they're losing something more precious, which is time. Because even if you took a more objective point of view in that situation, and I actually computed like the minimum wage and how long people spent lining up for these donuts, people spent like hours, literally just to get like 2-for-1 donuts, and they could have made more money by not doing that and could have bought more donuts. And it doesn't even make sense. But people view that comment as anti-poor or elitist, or that I had such a big head and, you know, how dare I say those things and step on their happiness? And even some even went as far as thinking that I was against people being happy and people cherishing that experience of lining up for donuts. So obviously that wasn't the point. There were a lot of more people were just angered by my post and triggered. And I think it's because I was telling the truth. And it's very hard to get your beliefs kind of opposed, and it triggers people, it makes people angry. So that was a really eye-opening moment for me, because it seemed like people would rather fight than have their beliefs challenged. Some people were really mean to me and my family. I didn't even know how it spiraled. I got rape threats. I got death threats. I got people photoshopping my face on a coffin, saying mean things about my mother. Like, rest in peace, right? My mom already passed then. And I feel like if she was alive, she would probably, you know, be affected by it negatively. And it was just like a mob of people being mad because someone's trying to teach them how to think about money. So that was a pretty eye-opening experience for me in seeing how different people look at money and how people cling on to certain beliefs and how they're willing to fight for it, even if it's wrong. So that was a moment for sure. And it helped me really solidify my beliefs about money and valuing time more, and really, really fully believing that you can make more money, but you can't make more time. I mean, it's the truth. Can't really unbelieve it or not believe it, because it's the truth. And that's also kind of a principle I teach my employees at Proximity Outsourcing, that, you know, the mere reason why some people outsource or our clients outsource is so they can save time and they can be more efficient. And it doesn't mean that by outsourcing it, you pass that on to a virtual assistant or an appointment setting team or a remote team overseas, so you don't have to do it yourself. They should also work on efficiency, and they should also work on saving time so that they can achieve more for you. And that is why we teach our team to be as efficient as possible. You know, when AI rolled out, we trained them, we helped them really understand the principle behind AI, and we continuously introduce new tools and really help them, because at the end of the day, we're helping our clients become more efficient and achieve their goals better and faster. So that's just a short and sweet insight on how we deal with things and how we look at it. And by the way, if you want to sign up to one of our services, just mention this podcast and we'll give you a $200 discount on our onboarding. Just mention this podcast. That's all you need to do. Just say you've heard it from None of Your Business and you want to check out what we're doing. That voucher is not going to expire. It's just a gift from me to you guys who have been listening religiously and supporting this podcast. So thank you very much. The next milestone I had in my life that I want to share with you is in the Philippines, even though our money compared to other currencies are lower. So, you know, just to give you an idea, the minimum wage over there is about $10 per day. So some places, you know, like Australia, it's like $15 an hour is the minimum. So there's a very stark difference. But in the Philippines, when we use the term millionaire, it is 1 million pesos, and that's only $20,000. But even getting there is very special. And it is a milestone, and it's not easy. It's not easy to do. There's bills, there's, you know, day-to-day stuff that you have to spend on. If you have kids, then there's so much more, a lot more expenses. You know, my sister alone, who just had her first kid, she has been working less now and making more compared to before. But because she has a kid, her expenses are just different. And, you know, she's supporting two people, basically herself and her kid. So it's different. It's different. She gets to go out less. And of course, the kid also takes up a little bit of time, but it's different. So in the Philippines, to even be a millionaire is still a big deal. To have 1 million pesos in your bank account, or to reach a yearly salary of a million pesos, which averages out to like $2,000 a month or 100,000 pesos a month. So that's still pretty special. So the first time I experienced that, my mother wouldn't believe it. So I find a lot of joy in supporting my family, especially my parents. I'm really sad that my dad, you know, passed really early, and my mom also passed while I was 28. My dad passed while I was 22. And I really wanted to give back to them. And that was my big inspiration in my business and making more money. I am grateful for the time I spent with my mom after my dad passed, because I just worked so hard in giving her the life that she deserved and as a way of thanking her. But I I told her one day that I'm a millionaire, and she couldn't believe it. And I had to print out an ATM receipt just to show her, because she wouldn't believe it. But it was such a great moment for me. And it was a moment, you know, that pride in my mom's eyes was just priceless. So I would say definitely cherish the moments in your life where, you know, it may be about money, but you also, you know, look deep down in yourself. You will find that there is a deeper sense of fulfillment coming from the other stuff that money brings you, especially in terms of safety, security for your family, and options. Those are really important. And the fact that money can get you these things is a very, very good motivation to continue to be better at making or earning and keeping and growing money. The next milestone in my life that I wanted to share is when I had my first anniversary of donating regularly. So I found this orphanage in Cavite, I think in Cavite, called Chosen Children Foundation, where they have an automated donation item that just, you know, takes out, I think through PayPal, that takes out a donation, you know, using your card, a debit or a credit card, and it just automatically donates it to them, to the charity. And I really like what they do, and I support all of their initiatives. And on the first year that I did it, every time I would see the notification every month, it would just make me happy. And when I did it for the first year consistently, it just made me feel so good that that I had that opportunity to give regularly, and I don't even have to think about it. So, and it's such a good feeling too, because the thing with money is that every time you let go of money, there is still a pain related to that. So this is what they call the pain of paying. If you are an avid behavioral economics fan, people like Dan Ariely or Kahneman or Taylor have already discussed this quite a few times. In fact, I recommend the book Dollars and Cents by Dan Ariely. It will help you learn a lot about money. And so you know, every time you part ways with money, you still feel a little bit of pain. And so that's why for stuff that are automated or automatic, you almost don't feel the pain. And so because I'm doing it with the intention of donating or helping other people, it just changes the whole experience. So that was a milestone for me, because it made me feel really good about working hard. And I'm not going to lie, it made me feel good about myself. It made me feel good that I am at this level where I can just donate regularly and not have to think about it. It is not the only charity I support. I also support two other charities regularly. And in fact, when someone invites me to speak or to do a workshop, I donate 100% of my professional fee to charity. So if you are down to explore that with me, you know, I would love to help out. Let me know if you have anything in your mind that you want to do together for charity. All right. So I wanted to share those three experiences with you, because there is so many ways that we can look at money, so many ways that money helps us, and so many ways to also make money work for us, right? And so today I'm going to share with you my top 10 principles or beliefs about money that definitely help me grow, keep, and earn money better. There you go. All right. So first is money is easy and abundant. So I want you to believe that money is easy and abundant. In fact, some people say that money doesn't grow on trees, earning money is hard. And, you know, at times it feels like that, but it actually is not. If you really think about it, if you even have a working body, you can get any job, right? If your limbs are complete and if you're not mentally challenged, it's really easy to find money. It's easy to find a job. And not just that, it's easy to also find a side hustle. There's so many options that you can do. There's so many ways to make money. There's so many solutions that people would be happy to pay for. And if you look all around you, especially now when most of our money is digital, you will find out how easy and abundant money really is. So there is a lot out there for everyone. There is a lot out there for you and me. And this is another reason why I don't really get fazed by competition. In fact, you know, some people reduce naming my company as a VA business, a virtual assistant business. And there's so many VA businesses in the world. I am friends with people who own VA companies, and I don't really view them as competition, because it doesn't really exist. All of us have our own strengths, and most of all, money is just really easy and abundant. So there's enough for them. There's more than enough for them. There's more than enough for me. There's more than enough for the next person who's going to start their VA business. So, you know, you have to really let go of your past beliefs with money, that money is hard or money is limited. And you don't just have to like think about them as limiting beliefs that you have to let go of, but you should also wear like a new pair of clothes. You have to wear these new beliefs that money is easy and abundant and there's enough and more than enough for all of us. Okay, so that's number one, because I don't want you to believe otherwise. Number two, money is a reflection of your mental state. Money is very energetic, and the more stressed you are, sometimes you will also feel that it's so hard to make money or earn money or keep money. And it feels like you're on this downward spiral. You know, have you ever noticed those moments when you're really tight with money and then an emergency happens? I'm not going to say that you caused it, but energetically, you know, when you're seeing more stressful items and when you're emphasizing hardship in your life, more hardship will come because it's what you're focused on. So money is a reflection of your mental state. I also notice that the more relaxed I am, the more trust I give to the universe, as long as I'm doing the right thing, the easier money comes to me. And what I just really need to do is continue doing the right things and continue thinking positively and always believing that money is easy and abundant. So try to really, you know, work on redoing your beliefs about money and fully believing it energetically, mentally, you know, inside your body. In fact, I guarantee that you will feel so much different maybe after you journal about money, like journal how you feel about it. And when you journal about old beliefs that you want to let go of and new beliefs that you want to wear, and I'll delve into that later. I have another tip and another principle that you guys will like. So number two, money is a reflection of your mental state. And the better your mental state is, the better your money state will also be. Number three, do the right thing every day and learn how to trust and surrender. So I've had a really good kind of scolding that I got from my partner a few days or maybe weeks ago, because I've had a lot of big ticket items that I have to pay for lately, and I'm feeling the pinch, you know, I'm feeling a little pinch. And he noticed that I was more stressed out than normal. And he asked me, are you doing the right things? Are you working hard every day? And are you making the right decisions? And are you doing good things in your business? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'm working really hard. I'm doing the right things. I'm connecting to the right people and all that. I don't delay on any work that gets me closer to the money. And so he was like, okay, so you've already done all of these things. All you just need to do now is chill and trust and surrender. You know, it's already being done. It's already happening. It's already done. It's out there. It's happening. And you just don't know. The how is not important, right? So what's important is that you're doing the right thing every second that you can, and you're doing your best. Because if you're, you know, if you're doing your best, and if you make money the right way, and if you are really like fulfilling to your duty, to the duty of your success, the thing that's really left for you to do is to choose if you're going to be stressed by money, or if you're going to trust that money is going to come, right? If you've done everything you can, then you've done it, right? So all you need to do is just sit back and relax and not be stressed by it. Because at that point, being stressed out about money is just a choice. And I do have to emphasize that you have to also make money the right way and keep your integrity in making money. Because if you make money the wrong way, it will come back and bite you in the ass, because you did not do your best. You did not have good intentions that you put into the world. And if you try to make money like the easy way, or, you know, you shortcut on some things because you want to get money fast, you will notice how it will pay, you know, how you will pay at the end. And it's not, sometimes it's not just money, it's also time, right? So one example that I can share with that is, before, when I was struggling with my business, I would take any client that I could take just so I can get their money. But there is something in my gut that just says that they're not the right person. They're not going to be a good boss to my remote team members, to the virtual assistant. And I just know that it's not going to work. And, you know, in the times, or they have like misleading expectations, and I just know that it's going to be rocky. So after, you know, obviously a few years of learning my lesson, I have learned to just let go of these things and even refund. You know, I am happy to refund clients now if I feel like it's not a good match. Even if I realize it late, obviously I try to stop the sale from happening, or just tell them it's not a good match. And, you know, I'm happy to help them find another supplier, or edit their job description to increase their chances of getting a really good candidate. And, but I will not risk our name and our reputation. And of course, I do not want to energetically take money that I don't fully deserve, or that I can't fully, if I can't fully serve a client, then I just won't do it. Because in the past, it has just, you know, come to bite me in the ass, and I still end up refunding them, and then we've done the work, or they're not happy, and then it ruins the relationship, you know. And then I refund them, and then they're happy, but I mean, they're not happy. They're kind of relieved, not really happy. So now I have a person who's not super happy, and then we also weren't able to help them. So just do the right thing every day. Learn how to trust and surrender the universe. Do your best and do the right things. Don't do wrong things. Don't rush into things. Don't shortcut. Don't do shortcuts, or don't shortchange your clients, or however you make money. Don't shortchange that person, or wherever that money's coming from. Don't shortchange them by under delivering just so you can try to make more money, or try to get money fast, because, you know, it's not the right way of making money, and that's not a good way to honor money. The number four is treat money as a friend, care for it and honor it. And this is really good, because the more you actually put a lot of love and care and mindfulness in terms of spending money, gaining or earning money, keeping money and growing your money, the better it is for you. Because when you put a lot of thought into it and a lot of care, and you treat it like a friend, money is our friend. Because you know that term, let money work for you? Yeah, because money is your friend. You know, your friends give you favors, right? Your friends make you feel good about yourself. Your friends uplift you. And that's what money should be for you. So treat it like a friend and care for it and honor it properly. And how can you do that? By doing good work, by not spending crazy, by believing and trusting it. And I have one activity in my mastermind, that my money mindset mastermind, that I used to do with my students, and they love this activity. And I want you to try this out. And even if you, after, you know, this podcast episode, even if you just do one thing and remember one thing, I want this to be the thing that you do. Okay. So get your pen and paper and take 15 to 20 minutes to reflect about money and write a love letter to money. So think of money as a friend or a person and write a love letter to it. So thank, you know, be grateful. Thank it for all the times that it has helped you. And maybe you can mention a few special things that it has helped you in life, and tell it that you were very happy, you know, how you feel about those things that it helped you with. And also apologize for the times you did not treat it well, and make promises. What are you going to do moving forward now that you know better? So it's kind of like talking to a person that's really close to you, like your spouse, right? Or something. Like you thank it for everything it has done for you, everything it has helped you with, and just really, really take a shower or take a bath in that goodness of gratitude to money. And then ask for forgiveness or apologize for all the times you did not treat it well and that you know better. And moving forward, what are you going to do, or how are you going to treat it? So it is kind of a sacrament, right? It's like a sacrament towards how money is going to be a very intimate part of your life, and how you are going to honor that partnership as well. So I love this activity. I actually always cry every time I do it. It's a really good activity, and it helps you just really imbibe how you should be looking at money and kind of confront all of the past experiences, especially the negative ones that you've had, and forgive yourself for it. So that's important, that you've learned your lesson and you forgive yourself. It's really important. Number five, don't be scared of money. So sometimes we sabotage our own growth when we start accepting large amounts of money and we somehow don't know what to do with it. And so that's why it's common for people who do not have a good relationship with money to just end up spending it all on useless things. In fact, do you know that like 97% of all lottery winners still end up broke because they actually don't see themselves as worthy of money, and they're partially scared of it. They're scared of their own success, and they don't know what to do with it. And they have all these high feelings, and they can't, you know, come back down to earth. So don't be scared of large amounts of money. Also, don't be scared of not having money, because at the end of the day, you know what to do, you know where to go, and you know how to earn money. You've been doing this for a while. And honestly, there is no shame in taking a job or taking a low paying job, as long as you have your bills paid and you can feed your family and you can protect your family. And even if it's like a for the meantime thing, no, as long as you honor money and you put a lot of integrity in what you do, there is no shame. And don't be scared of what other people will think of you if they think you're poor or something. Who cares if you're eating at home for a year because you wanted to save money, right? So who cares? So don't be scared of money and of how people think of you when it comes to your money condition. So a lot of people I notice, the people who have not healed their money wounds, or who have not really, you know, cemented strong beliefs about abundance and money, is one of the mistakes they make is they buy a lot of designer stuff because they need a consistent reminder that they are worthy of money. And, you know, I'm not even immune to this. I made this mistake a while ago when I was obsessed with buying jewelry, and I was obsessed with buying designer bags and clothes. And sometimes it didn't even matter if I, you know, if I look good in it. I just wanted people to see that I can afford it. You know, it was kind of weird. Also a common thing when you grow up poor, it's kind of like a vengeance, you know, which is, again, remember these words and listen to these words that I'm using. They're all negative. They're not, you know, vengeance, or like, they're not the certain terms that you use to describe something that you value and you honor and you respect. So I realized that what was happening is I was just scared of money and I was scared of my own success. So scared that I didn't know what to do with it. It was such a foreign thing to me, and it was not me at all. And I wasn't comfortable with having that much money at that time. So yeah, don't be scared of money. And next is my other tip for that is more people are actually willing to help you more than you know. So, you know, go to your bank, get some advice, call your insurance person, get some advice. If you have an elder sister or a cousin that's smart with money, if you have a mentor, ask them about money, ask them, you know, to give you custom advice based on your situation. If you even have a former partner, a former lover who cares about you, who has always been good with money, you know, ask for their advice. You know, there are a lot of people that are willing to help you change your money situation if you just ask for help and if you just be more mindful and show people that you, this is the new you. You care about money in a different way and you are trying to make the most out of the situation, because, you know, at the end of the day, you can make more money, but you really can't make more time, right? So that's tip number five. Don't be scared of money. Don't be scared of your own success. And don't be scared to ask for help if you need help. You know, ask for advice. More people are actually willing to help you more than you know. It also makes them feel good about themselves. And if they honor and respect money, helping other people do the same is actually also an honor to them. Okay, so find those people in your life. Find those people who have a healthy relationship with money and approach them, ask for their help. All right, so tip number six, spend mindfully. So one of the life-changing principles that I learned about spending money is that when you spend money, you're actually making space for more of it. And there is a difference between spending money mindfully or, you know, being frugal or being thrifty because you honor money, and or you spend thriftily or you're being frugal because you're just scared of it running out. So there, those are two different energetic states in your body and in your mind. And when you are trying to save money and when you're spending more mindfully and you're being frugal, what it really means is it's because you care and respect your money. You're not just going to throw it all away, you know. That's why you arrange your money properly in your wallet, because you respect it. It is you know, it is your friend, remember. So it is your friend. So I have definitely, you know, in the past, I have not spent mindfully. I remember so many purchases that I did that doesn't mean anything to me now. And I'm not really tied to those purchases anymore. But at that time, my ego was making me spend that money because I didn't respect money enough. And I didn't spend mindfully. And then when I needed money, I was not spending money because I was scared of it running out, when in fact, I should be thinking, oh, I'm not going to spend money because I honor it and I respect it. And that was a big shift for me. And when that also changed in terms of like my mindset, it has actually made me feel good about being frugal and being just more mindful about my expenses, because now it is an act of respect and honor instead of an act of, you know, a sense of lack or a sense of loss or desperation or something like that. So those are very different. So it's okay to spend money as long as you spend mindfully and you get the most out of utility of whatever you spend on. So there's no shame in being frugal. There's no shame in negotiating prices. There's no shame in being thrifty, eating at home, or not going to this random trip, or, you know, something like that. Honestly, at the end of the day, it just goes down to you, how you feel, and what money means to you. So stop caring about what other people think, really. They don't really matter. So yeah, spend mindfully. The last four principles and tips that I'm going to share are more strategic or tactical, actually, about money. And these are some of the best lessons that I've learned throughout my life, you know, with like 13 years in business. And when you're in business, your money is basically, you know, in your hands. Like the way you earn money and how much money you make is almost in your hands, and you have full control of it. And there was a time when, you know, especially when you're starting out, the harder you work, the more money you make, right? And then, so you just work hard, you put in more hours. I remember the time when I was an SEO writer, and I was paid by the number of words I wrote. So I wrote 10,000 words a day so that I could make at least like $100 a day or something like that. I forgot. But, you know, after a while, you know, when you're working or when you're an entrepreneur, you would discover certain ways to make money that doesn't involve working hard. It's working smart or building some sort of efficiency into your system, adjusting your offer. So, and then you learn about this stuff, right? So for example, right now in my consulting role, I would advise businesses and business owners in revenue optimization. And the answer rarely is working hard or putting more hours. It is the tweaking some stuff and tweaking their focus on certain things, because running a business, especially an online business, you can get buried in different points of focus, especially, for example, social media. Okay, so I have great content on Facebook. Should I move now to LinkedIn and Instagram? What about TikTok? So a lot of these things could be overwhelming, but not a lot of it are worth doing. So that's a business advice right there. So we're veering away from our rule of no business talk. But I would say number seven, the principle that I wanted to share with you is, in your business, use the principle of what is closest to the money. So if you're a founder or you're a business owner, there are so many activities that you can do to get yourself closer to the money, right? So it could be a pitch, it could be a proposal, it could be a call, it could be an alignment with an affiliate. There's just so many things that you can do to get closer to the money, or what is closest to someone actually paying you. So there's so many activities that you can do to get there. So I would say, when you do your to-do list, and if you are in growth mode and revenue optimization mode, find the tasks or activities that are closest to the money, get you to the money immediately, and do them first. And if you practice that, if you practice that principle of closest to the money, you will find that prioritizing your tasks and efforts and budgeting your energy and headspace is so much easier, because it's focused on growing your business. At the end of the day, like I said, when we were starting this podcast, the main purpose of a business is to make profit, to turn a profit. And if you are focusing on activities that bring you closer to the money, then you are doing what a business should be doing, right? So just, you know, let's just keep it simple. Let's just do that. So for me, I have a large following on Facebook. I've made a lot of connections, and I've made a lot of business. I've made a lot of money just by optimizing my Facebook content and organic marketing. And I get tempted with whatever new is happening on LinkedIn, on TikTok, on Instagram, even Twitter when Elon Musk took over. But, you know, I would have these little moments of, oh, should I go there? Should I do that? But then I didn't want to forget. I didn't want to leave my main platform where I am also making a lot of money and making a lot of connections. So with that said, I don't mean to say, you know, only focus on one platform, but if it is the closest to the money, then you should put a lot of effort into it and continuously put effort into it. And of course, you can have a secondary platform. I have my email list and my affiliates as my secondary platform, and I'll just continue working on that. And one day, maybe when I have extra time, I'll post, you know, from time to time on LinkedIn, on Instagram, but it's not really, I don't lose sleep over it. So because it's not close to the money. All right. Principle number 8. The first time you realize you're making more money than you need, invest. This is an act of paying yourself first. And I would also say make it as effortless and forgettable as possible. So I would be the first to say that I'm not the best at keeping money or saving money. And this is why I had to force myself into doing it. And even, you know, as you've heard, even my charity donation had to be automated and taken out of my attention just so it happens. But my mother taught me before that if you have no kids and the first moment, the very first moment that you realized you're making more than what you really need or your monthly expenses, you should invest. You should start investing. And that has led me to invest in my first property, the first real estate property at 22. I started by buying memorial lots, and then I moved to buying house and lots, and then I moved to buying condos, and then I moved to also investing in rental properties. And I actually had my first beach property like finished last week and launched it. It's a 2-bedroom at a surfing town in the Philippines. It was such a great experience, but that took a while. That took me like 11 years of investing, doing the right thing, just paying these monthly payments and waiting, you know, for that moment when I can finally ROI. And now that I'm enjoying it, it kind of gets addicting. And so the principle there is I paid myself first and I invested early. So as early as you can make investments, I would definitely say do it, especially the safe ones. Like real estate's pretty safe. Blue chip stocks are pretty safe. I think treasury bonds are pretty safe. So find another way for your money to grow that's not linked to you working or your business growing, because you will also need these things. You know, these are also kind of a forced savings for you. Like the way I paid my condos was post-dated checks. And these checks would just be cashed every month or deposited every month. And it just happened, you know, it just happened naturally. And I see it in my account. I see it deducted in my account, but I didn't have to make extra effort. It just happened. So that was great. And I made it as effortless, forgettable as possible. And it also inspired me to, you know, respect money more, work hard and do the right thing and all of those things we discussed. So if you are a little bit older than 22 when I started, it's okay. The best time to invest is always yesterday, but today is also a good time, right? It's a better time than tomorrow. So I bet there's a small investment that you can make immediately that you can just forget about and let your money grow. And trust me, you will thank yourself later. You will definitely remember that to thank yourself. You know, you to thank yourself and who you were 10 years ago, a year ago, a day ago, or a week ago when you actually need that money. So there have been times in my life where I have enjoyed the liquidity of selling some of my properties and being able to also enjoy the perks of it and the appreciation and all that. So that was a great experience. Number 9, you know, this goes to people who get excited about investing. And the tip here is to know the difference between investment and gambling, okay? So there are a lot of places where people would make you think that putting money in something is investing, but it's actually gambling. So for example, crypto. Some people call it crypto investments. I still call it gambling because it could change every day drastically. And because crypto is still so young, it is very hard to predict it. And for most people, obviously, I'm not going to debate with a crypto expert, but for most people, crypto is still, you know, an up or down kind of thing. And there's just no way to anticipate it. I have friends who put millions in crypto. And they some of them gained money, some of them lost, some of them pulled out at the right time and cashed their crypto and bought real assets like real estate. So good for them. And I've also had friends who didn't want to do any traditional investing and put all their money on crypto. So that's one example. Another example are some of these short-term investment, quote-unquote, investment schemes, but they're actually either Ponzi schemes or they're just pure gambling. So if it's not backed by, you know, FDIC insurance, or if it's not through a licensed broker, or if it's not like a real asset like real estate where you can actually have a deed or a title, then it is very likely, you know, gambling. Sometimes even venture investments and VC stuff are still considered gambling, but they're kind of, you know, they're kind of in the gray area, because if you know, it's kind of a high risk, high reward thing also in the VC world. I'm not a VC expert, but the difference between investment and gambling is that investment is long-term. It's more long-term, it's more sustainable, and gambling is more short-term, okay? So to make the example really stand out for you, consider yourself signing a certificate or a deed of property and owning a house, and consider yourself as someone playing at the roulette table. So one is more long-term, it's on paper, and it's very regulated. And then the other one is anyone can do it, and it's more short-term. And yes, you can make money in it. You can also lose money fast. It's harder to lose money on real estate, really. In fact, the only time that you will, you know, real estate has been steadily appreciating throughout the years, generally, and the only time it depreciates is in times of calamity or war. So that's another, or political unrest. So that's another tip for you. Invest only in places in real estate that is not calamity prone and doesn't have a lot of political unrest. And of course, not a lot of political unrest. And of course, if it's thriving, like look for certain economic markers, like new flights to that area. So I always look at that, how they're developing, you know, new airports or even ports, you know, for boats to dock on or something like that. Look at international investments in the area, population growth, you know, year to year. So there's some very easy and very common sense economic markers that you can look at to know if a place is a good place to invest in. There you go. And of course, it's a bonus. If you're buying real estate, it's a bonus. If you actually like the place, if you like visiting that place, because then you can stay at your house and you can spend time in it. And that's what I also practice with my investments. I love all of the areas I invested in. And I look forward to staying at my own space also from time to time, every time I visit. So there's that. So to recap, know the difference between investment and gambling and always choose investment. And if you want to choose to gamble, then just be mindful that you're gambling. Maybe you can put money that you can afford to lose, and be mindful of leaving the table early or leaving when you're ahead. And that's when I say, you know, you can justify that it was a way for you to not just put money, but also in the intention of growing it. And one of the ways that you can prove that is if you walk away at the right time. That's a problem with people who gamble, right? The hardest time or the hardest moment is walking away, because you get addicted to the win, you get addicted to the dopamine of making money and of being able to make money easily. You know, in your head, it's so easy. It just took me like one spin of the roulette table or one good card at the poker table, and then you won. So there's not a lot of effort tied into it. And so in your head, you're like, oh my gosh, this is such easy money and I want to keep going. However, that's how they get you. You know, they give you that little feeling, that little rush, and they want you to stay, and then you lose money. And that's why you notice every gambler has a story of being up so well, like, oh, I was up $7,000, I was up $5,000, and then where's that? Where is your profit? So, you know, they couldn't walk away. So that is one thing that I also practice every time. I still put money in crypto. Every time I put money in crypto, I just kind of read and gamble as smart as I could and read the trends And every time I would get like a 10% bump, I would just pull out. I would just enjoy my profit. And then every time I find another opening that, when crypto is low or when the price is low and I feel like it's gonna be low for a little bit, but it's gonna go back up, then I go back into buying it. So it is gambling, but I try to do it as mindfully as possible. And the number 10, my last principle is diversify, but be honest with yourself. So once again, bringing the intention and the principle of knowing the difference between investment and gambling, it's also good to diversify your investments and the way that you make money. So I have multiple businesses. I have a physical business and online business, and I even take some consulting clients on the side. So I diversify. And I'm not overworked because it's really up to me how much I work, and I have built teams. And that's also another advantage with outsourcing, right? If you outsource some of the tasks that you don't want to do, you can pursue more things and maybe even pick up a hobby. So yeah. So if you're ready to do that, just let me know or visit our website at Proximity Outsourcing and book a call. Hashtag shameless plug, but yeah, diversify. So be honest with yourself about the things that you want to make money from, and be honest with yourself about your time and be mindful about it. And there is a lot to be said about side hustles, right? So Carla, is it good to have a side hustle? Is it advisable when people always say that you should have focus, right? You should focus on one thing and make it work for you. So I've got a lot to say about that topic, actually. So I agree, first of all, that focus is good. And you can definitely focus on multiple things as long as you're not doing it at the same time. So if you're smart about it, if you have a full-time job and that's 8 hours of your day, you can add 2 hours to your side hustle every day. And in those 2 hours, you just focus on your side hustle. You will be surprised that there's a lot that you can achieve in that side hustle instead of just, wasting your time away and, doing mindless things. And once again, being mindful and being intentional about your efforts and respecting money that way is always the key, and it always comes up in your life many times. And so diversify, it's good to diversify and make money in different ways, because if one type of cash cow is not working anymore, or if there is an industry trend that you did not foresee, then having a diverse set of income streams always helps. So let me give you an example. So my cash cow for the longest time was my events company. There was a time in the Philippines I was making around $200,000 a year. And in the Philippines, that's a lot of money. In fact, I was able to really get big clients, and it was just effortless for me to make that much money. And I was able to actually build a portfolio of real estate properties because of that cash cow, my events company. And, we had a small office. I was very frugal. I had a really reliable team. Sometimes they did events without me, so we've had clients that are really, really big companies where our clients became our clients. And it became so effortless and so easy to make that money. And then the pandemic happened. So when the pandemic happened, what I was making before was, turned to zero. And it became like that for, I think, almost 2 years. And so if I didn't have other businesses like my flower shop or my online business, which helped me make money throughout the pandemic, even though it wasn't at first at the level of, what my events company was making, I still had something that helped, pay for all these real estate properties that I promised to pay every month. And it really saved my ass, So now that events are also, coming back up, I am still getting used to working on it again and just mindfully budgeting my time. So it's always good to have another source of income in case one falls through. But at the same time, that is also when savings and investments are also good, because the thing with investments is you can liquidate them, and you can liquidate them for cash in case you need it. And I have done this many times. I have just ready buyers, and sometimes I would even sell my property at cost, at the money I paid for it. And I have no problem with that because I feel like I just saved it. I don't overthink. If I really need the money, I don't overthink appreciation or anything. I just went for it, and it has really helped me. So I would say, if there is a side hustle that you're thinking about, you can definitely do it. It's not going to split your focus as long as you budget your time in a certain way. And at a certain time in your day, you also focus on it. The really important thing is consistency. And that's what people really struggle with, because when you're starting a new business or when you're starting a new side hustle, you don't get to see results immediately, right? And you feel like you're in this Sisyphean climb of just working and working, and you're not making money and nothing is showing for it yet. And then you just get tired. And the tendency is you give up and you said it didn't work. And now you're back to square one, where you only have one way of making money. And honestly, that's a little scary. That's a little scary, right? You just have one way of making money, and it's always good to have a backup or even a thing that will let you make kind of a semi-passive income. I wouldn't say real estate is passive income because you still have to have property managers, but it is pretty close to being passive, where you don't spend a lot of time in it, and there's just a lot of time involved in the setup. But at the end of the day, it's really pretty much automated afterwards, or a source of passive income. So diversify and be mindful about where you put your focus, and be honest with yourself. So that is my last tip for today's Money Mindset Mastermind. That's the name of the program, but this is just a podcast episode. But I've basically just shared everything that I feel are really, really useful for you guys in terms of mindset and principles, and even strategic and tactical ways to make money. So let's do a little recap. Number one is, money is easy and abundant. Let go of your beliefs that are hurting you and change them and wear new beliefs like a new set of clothes. Number two, money is a reflection of your mental state. It just responds to whatever you put in your brain. And so make sure that your mental state is in good condition. Number three, do the right thing every day and learn how to trust and surrender to the universe. Just do your best and make sure you're making money the right way. Number four, treat money like a friend. Care for it and respect it and honor it. Bonus activity, write a love letter to money where you give your gratitude or message of thanks to all the times money has helped you and made you feel good. Ask for forgiveness or apologize all the times that you didn't treat it so well, and make promises and follow through with them based on what you plan to do after, you know, now that you have realized a lot of things. Number five, don't be scared of money. You deserve it, and you deserve success, and you deserve happiness and security and all of the good things that money can bring you and your family. And more people are also willing to help more than you know, so ask for their help. Number six, spend mindfully, be thrifty, be frugal if that's what you want, because you respect money. And the more you let go of money, the more you also make space for more. So as long as you're not wasteful and you're not just doing it for the wrong reasons, like, you know, to impress people that don't really matter to you, then you should be good, because you respect money and you spend mindfully. Number seven, in your business, focus on the activities that bring you closest to the money. There are different activities that we do every day that could bring us money, but whatever's the closest or fastest or easiest or more efficient, focus on those. And that's how you prioritize what you do first in your day. Tip number eight, the first time that you make more than you need, invest. This is an act of paying yourself first. And if I may add, you have to make it as effortless and forgettable as possible. Number nine, know the difference between investment and gambling. It's okay to gamble as long as you are aware of what you're doing. But of course, I definitely recommend doing some old school and safe investing as a way to protect yourself from some big financial downfall. Number 10, diversify. However, be honest with yourself. I invite you to have more than one stream of income and maybe even encourage you to start a side hustle as long as you also put focus on that side hustle based on what it deserves and what it needs in order to thrive as a business. All right, so that is super fun. I hope that you learned a lot from today's episode. I definitely had fun recording this and sharing these thoughts with you. I'm really, really passionate about this topic because it is something that affects all of us. It is something that causes certain feelings of insecurity amongst entrepreneurs, you know, like you and me. And I would love if you could also share your thoughts, you know, message me on Instagram or on Facebook, or if you're on my email list, you'll definitely find this. And if you could, and if you have time, please feel free to give us a follow or give us as much as a 5-star review. If you like the content, it is a way of supporting this podcast. And of course, giving kudos to me and my team who's working so hard to make this podcast as awesome as possible. So anyway, thank you so much for being here. I'm so grateful that you hung out with me and, you know, learned some stuff about money. It's such a good topic. And, you know, I love talking about money with my friends, my partner, my family, and just makes me happy. And I have gone to this state of just making it my friend too. So anytime that you reach that state, you will feel that all of those efforts were definitely worth it. And you'll feel more relaxed and more order into your life, and money just becomes easier for you. And so it's a good feeling all over. So I want you to realize that. And yeah, so anyway, thank you. Have a good day. Be kind to your money and honor your money properly. And see you next week for another awesome episode of None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have 2 conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.